Whom do you come to worship? Who do you bring along in the mind's eye as an Easter remembrance? Who travels with you come Sunday? Whose voice, whose example, whose faithful love, whose support? We come with a cloud of witnesses, a blessed memory, some resting in a greater light and upon a farther shore. Midway through theological study, we were given the gift of service at the World Council of Churches in Geneva, Switzerland. And there we, speaking of those who travel with us, we're introduced to a friend, Jean Scott, and with her friend John Thurber, we traveled here and there into southern France driving a little deux chevaux. It's an old car. And up and down we went and then learned that she was the daughter of Ted Scott, the primate of the Anglican Church in Canada, under, in part, whose guidance a wonderful creed was given. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in the true person, Jesus, to reconcile and to make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. God calls us to be the church, the body of Christ, to celebrate Christ's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. We come presenting ourselves in public witness here down the center aisle to receive bread and cup at the Lord's table. We do so with Easter remembrance. You know, Proust rightly said that when memory comes in full, we are resurrected, freed from the bonds of space and time. With whom do you walk the sacramental sawdust trail? Yes, in Eucharist we offer thanksgiving each and every month. Yes, in the Lord's Supper we celebrate presence, the presence of Spirit in, with, and under the elements of Holy Communion. But also, and today in the Easter season especially, we come in remembrance, do these things in remembrance of me. So 20 centuries ago, nearly, the community of the beloved disciple gathered quietly in the evening for the call and response of the gospel and heard the voice of the risen Christ saying, I have said these things to you that you may have my joy in you, and that your joy may be complete. With whom do you walk this Easter season? Also saying, no longer do I call you servants, but I have called you friends, the beginning, by the way, of the Quaker tradition, George Fox, prize your time, now you have it. God is a consuming fire. And especially what we lose in independence, we gain in support. You did not choose me, but I did choose you. In the reverie, the season of celebration that is Easter, who walks with you? Who comes along with you? Now, this year at Marsh Chapel, we have been in a full season of remembrance, which to some degree we conclude this morning. You know, we began September 17th in sermon and in program later remembering Professor Elie Wiesel, whose voice for decades, thrice in autumn, before 1,000 each evening, gave our community and this community a moral compass, a warning about what can happen in history, a warning about authority, a warning about nation, said Wiesel. One who hears a witness becomes a witness. Our present company, if you will, as we remember who we are in Boston University. And then on October 30th, we remembered Martin Luther, who was willing to splinter the church into smithereens for the sake of the truth of the gospel, said he, nailing his 95 theses on the door of the Wittenberg Cathedral. And later, here I stand, I can do no other, God help me. It reminds us in religious life of who we are to remember that substance always surpasses form, that gospel ever surpasses tradition, that the danger of religion is the capacity for the relative to become absolute. Here in Easter remembrance, we too, this Lent, February 11th and other dates, recalled together the voice of Thomas Merton this Lent, someone who guides us not so much in our university identity or in religious life, but in our community of faith, as those who with Merton resist the full tides of materialism all around us. He who found such in his era not long ago, so shallow, so lacking, and so reached forward in vocation to find himself on a spiritual journey in search of invisibles and intangibles. We are a people of shared faith, he taught also this Lent. We studied together the beauty of the St. John Passion, which our choir presented, and also, though studying with some rigor the embedded historical anti-Semitism in that gospel and elsewhere in the New Testament, to be prepared together to move into a full and ecumenical future. And then this April 4th and before and after, we concluded our season of remembrance by recollection of the life and the assassination and the legacy of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. You may want to take along a child on the seashore, will sometimes pick up a shell and cleanse it and hold it and remember something in particular with that shell. How grateful we are for the help in the celebration of King's influence and life that came from the Gottlieb Center and from the School of Theology and, yes, from Mars Chapel and from the Dean of Students' Office and from the College of Fine Arts and the Arts Initiative and you and all you all. What do you remember of his words? In many ways, our words outlast our deeds. It was Martin Luther King, after all, who said, "When it gets dark enough, you can see the stars." King, who said, if you want to call me for anything, if you want to call me as a leader, then call me as a leader celebrating peace and righteousness and justice. If you want to call me as a drum major, call me as a drum major for justice. King, who said, "I have a dream that my four little children will be judged not by the color of skin, but by the content of character." King, who said, I am convinced that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word. King, who said that hatred cannot drive out hatred, love has to do that. Darkness cannot drive out darkness, light has to do that. And perhaps most famously, King, who said, the moral arc of the universe is long, but it bends toward justice. May we who have remembered Dr. King this year find in the years to come the grace to seek and to serve the cause of his life and the cause of his death. Justice as preached by the shepherd boy in Tekoa 3,000 years ago. Let justice roll down as water and righteousness as an ever-flowing stream. May we who have remembered him this year, in the years to come, live in faithfulness to that vision. The moral arc of the universe is long, but it bends toward justice. With whom do you come to this table in Easter remembrance? You know, Daniel Marsh, the fourth president of Boston University, is in fact with us. Arlene and Daniel have had their ashes interred here. He was the president from 1926 until 1951, and then the chancellor from 1951 until May of 1968. He bridged for us all that came earlier for us as a university in the 19th century and carried us all the way to this point. With whom do you come forward? Of course, Daniel Marsh said, greeting as he did regularly, good friends all, his standard invocation and beginning. Daniel Marsh, who gave us the phrase, learning, virtue, piety, which today we might rather render knowing and doing and being. Daniel Marsh especially, who represented for his time the Methodist tradition out of which finally King came. In the 1950s, 50%, one half of all of the PhDs in religion awarded in this country to African Americans were given by one institution, Boston University. That comes out of a deep well of the kindling in the Methodist movement through Mr. John Wesley of a search for deep personal faith and active social involvement, for Wesley teaching his Methodists day by hour, prize every moment, prize every day, prize every penny, prize every pound, and do all the good you can at all the times you can, in all the ways you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. We come in a season of remembrance to the Lord's table. Of course, for some of us, the memory is of Howard Thurman. But you know, you can't get very close to Howard Thurman without prayer. You can't get close to Howard Thurman without scripture. You can't get close to Howard Thurman without devotion. You can't get close to Howard Thurman without spirituals. You can't get close to Howard Thurman without study. You can't get close to Howard Thurman without worship. He's with us in voice here in the phrases of his favorite psalm, the 137th. With whom do you worship this hour? O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest when I sit down and when I rise up. Thou discernest my thoughts from afar. Thou searchest out my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou dost beset me behind and before, and layest thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and travel to the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me, thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, let only the darkness cover me, and the light about me be as night, even the darkness is not dark to thee. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light with thee. O Lord, bless us as we come to receive this holy meal. Kindle in us a faithful Easter remembrance, step by step, month by month, year by year. Amen.